All right. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. As I stated earlier, this is a record that when I was a little boy, I just loved this record. It just was my favorite record. And like I said, sometimes my dad would read it to me, sometimes my mom would read it to me. And I didn't know much of the details, but I just loved it. And there is some great learning here. Great learning in this record. We're going to see the difference between believing and not believing. But we're also going to see great grace and how that God brings His Word to pass. Not because it's believed, but because it's His Word. And it's really something. So we're going to begin in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the law, blameless. Verse 7, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So they're pretty old. Sound like some wonderful folks. But she was barren. And, you know, in this culture, that was a curse. There were many would have considered her cursed by God for not being able to bear children. And that's something. Anyway. They were well stricken in years. In verse 8, and it came to pass that while he, Zacharias, executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay? And then it says in verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. And I just want to stop here for a moment and explain a couple of things. It says that he was of the course of Abia. He was a descendant of Abijah. You can read about this in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 22 through 25, I believe. Yeah. Where David, near the end of his life, set a number of things. He set up the Levites. And then, of those Levites, he set up the descendants of Aaron, who were the priests. And he set up 24 courses. So you would have one family, their course would be for a given period of time. I'm not sure how long it was, but where they would serve in the temple. Okay? Abijah was the eighth course. There were 24 courses set up by David. It's kind of interesting to read some of that stuff because it was near the end of his life. The priests, the Levites, would no longer carry the tabernacle. That was stipulated by David. because God had given them rest. That's something? Yeah. Some neat things in those records. But so what that tells us is that Zacharias was a descendant of Aaron through Abijah. Okay. Elizabeth was also a descendant. What did we read? What did that say?
Of Aaron.
Of Aaron, right. She was a descendant of Aaron. Sort of neat. So those things were set. He was of the course of Abijah. Now, his lot during his this course was to burn incense. That was a big deal. That was a big deal in God's word. There were two times of the day where this would happen. In the morning and in the evening. You had the morning burning of incense. And I'm not going to go into detail, but it was pretty neat what they did. Anyway, in the evening, they would burn the incense. And only a priest had to be a descendant of Aaron could burn the incense. Nobody else was allowed to touch it and burn incense. It's kind of interesting. Another stipulation was that not only did it have to be a Levite and specifically a descendant of Aaron, there's a record in Numbers where it says, and he cannot be like Korah. Now, Korah was a man who rebelled against Moses. And it is the first recording in God's word of a man burning incense. Not the first use of incense, but the first record of a man burning incense. It was Korah. And things didn't end too well for him, if you know the record. He got a little swallowed up that day. But anyway, he rebelled against Moses. So incense was a big deal in how it was done, how it was conducted. Only the priests could do it. And that's what Zacharias was doing. He's old. And the whole multitude was outside praying. This is kind of neat. You don't have to turn here. But I'm going to read you something from Psalm 141. Because it's noted in this record that was a whole multitude out there praying during this burning of incense. And Psalm 141, verse 1 says, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Isn't that something? And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. See? It's possible that this had become customary to pray during the burning of incense. And as the incense went up, so their prayers. Which is kind of neat, especially in light of what we're going to read here. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Okay, that could be a little nerve-wracking because he was the only one supposed to be in there. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Understandable. Verse 13. But the angel said unto him, as so often is the case, the first words that God speaks to men is, fear not. That's something. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Just, those are neat words to just think about. Thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Zacharias had been praying. Probably had been praying for a long time for a son. First words out of his angel's mouth is, fear not, and then your prayer's been heard. See? And Elizabeth, your wife, is going to have a son. And his name's going to be called John. Watch this. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. A little bit of detail here. And thou shall have joy and gladness. Isn't that, that's some. This is God-esque. This is what God likes to do for his people. And you're going to have great joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. See? For he, your son, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Isn't that something? Those are some great words. You're going to be filled with joy and gladness, and many are going to rejoice at his birth. Not only that, he's going to be great. He's going to be great before God, and he's going to be filled with Spirit from his mother's womb. This is interesting. This will come into play a little later in the record. The word from, I don't want to get too into this, but, and you know, I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch, but there are different words in Greek, prepositions, and this particular word is the word ek, E-K. And I want you to picture a circle, okay, just to understand what this means. If it were the word apo, A-P-O, you would start on the surface of the circle and move out from there. That would be this word from. Okay? But the word ek doesn't mean that. It's from the center of the circle and then out. These are little nuances in Greek that we don't have in English. And what this is indicating is that this child would have spirit from or in the womb. I don't know. God can do what he wants. But that's not the point of this, but it's kind of interesting in light of what we're going to read a little later in this record. But where did I stop?
15,
okay, verse 16. And many, and he's going to tell them a little bit more about his son. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Yeah. See, Elias is the Greek for Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Wow. What a man he would be. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's who this man would be. You know, we picture John as pretty rough around the edges. Because mostly what we read are his interactions with the religious leaders, who were hypocrites and vipers and turning people away from the true God. But when we read here, this is a man that was going to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children. That's something. That's pretty incredible. He was going to turn the hearts of the people back to God. They hadn't had a prophet in 400 some years. See? In the power of Elijah. He's going to be quite a man. Verse 18. You know, it'd be awesome if we just read the word wow right here. And Zacharias said unto the angel, how will I know? How will I know? Apparently, this is not something you say to Gabriel. For I'm an old man. And my wife is well stricken in years. So how will I know that these things will be? It's kind of neat. And the angel is answering and said, well, this is how you should have known. I'm Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. Not all the angels stand in the presence of God. Gabriel stands in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak unto you. And to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Isn't that something? They're going to be fulfilled, but you ain't going to do much talking until it happens. It's just so beautiful. So the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he couldn't speak. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Yeah, his eyes were probably like this big. Right? For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. That's something. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach from among men. Wow. She conceived. that's something. Anyway. Well, verse 25:6. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, this would have been early December. Roughly right around now. Maybe a little earlier than this, but right around. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay? So they were espoused, or they were betrothed, they were to be married. You know, and it's kind of neat too, because in this culture, it is very likely that Mary was very young. You know, very different than our culture. But she possibly could have been as young as 14, 15 years old. You know, 16, but young. She was young. Likely. Anyway. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Isn't that great? Highly favored. That's a grace word. It's a grace word. It's, at its root is charis, grace. Highly favored of the Lord. From God's perspective, she doesn't even know what's happening yet. That's quite a greeting from Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, understandable, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What did this mean? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace. Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Okay. These are, you know, this is a young woman. She's not married. And he's telling her, you're going to conceive in your womb and you're going to call your son Jesus. All right. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. This is talked about back in Jeremiah, chapter 33. Shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's talked about in Daniel 7. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This is a little different than Zacharias' response. It wasn't, how will I know that these things will be? Her response was, okay, how shall these things be since I haven't been with a man? Isn't that something? She wasn't denying anything here. She just couldn't understand how it was possible to get pregnant seeing she had never been with a man. That's what she was asking. How is God going to do this? How is this going to happen? I haven't been with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. There's a few places in the Word where God's called the highest. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, it's finally happening. It's finally happening. You know, it started all the way back in Genesis 3. And here's the beginnings. It's happening. God's going to do it. He's going to do what he promised. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Can you imagine how this, what this must have done for Mary's heart? Her cousin who had been barren. Her cousin Elizabeth. She also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. Then it says, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. This is one of those verses that people use and misuse and make plaques out of. And, well, I'll share with you what it is. The word nothing. The word nothing is translated from three words here in the King James. One is pas, meaning every or all. Okay. The second is u, and it means not. It's an absolute negative. Okay? So it kind of makes sense. Every or all, and then absolutely not. The third word is the word rhema. And rhema means a word spoken or a word written. So what's being said here is that with God, nothing spoken shall be impossible, or no word from God shall be impossible. Because who backs his word up? God does. And God doesn't say it unless he's going to do it. Do you understand? And that's what this says. It's not that with God, nothing is impossible. It's that with God, nothing spoken shall be impossible. When he speaks it, it's true. Period. End of it. Zacharias learned that, didn't he? I am Gabriel, the stand in the very presence of God. So, nothing spoken shall be impossible. Look at this, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. He just told her, no word of God shall be impossible. And she said, all right, then be it unto me according to thy word. Let's do it. Isn't that awesome? That's believing. See? She received it, be it unto me according to thy word. See? And the angel departed from her. I made note of something else. I just want to read it. And you can stay here if you like, or keep a finger here and go with me to Matthew. Because I wanted to read this. Here we have Mary, who said, be it unto me according to thy word. And we read that Mary was a spouse to a man named Joseph. So we're going to read a little bit about Joseph real quick. Verse 18, now the birth... Chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ
was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or betrothed to Joseph, which we read earlier, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, child of God. Now, this is a heavy thing, first of all. In any culture, this would be a little rough. But in this culture, even perhaps more so. You know, before they came together, in other words, before they came together as a husband and wife, Mary was pregnant. Joseph found out Mary was pregnant, learned Mary was pregnant. That's something. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a wonderful guy, and not willing, it wasn't his desire to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, secretly. You know, in this culture, I'm not going to go into all the detail, but he had every right to, you know, publicly shame her. It was a big deal. But he was a just man, and he didn't want to do that. He just wanted to keep it quiet. Put her away. He was just going to put her away, secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. That's something. And she's going to bring forth a son. And you're going to call his name Jesus. And he's going to save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Isn't that awesome? So he believed too. He believed. See, really something. But he did not, he knew her not, meaning he didn't impregnate her. That didn't happen until, of course, later. But, because Jesus had brothers and sisters, which we learn from other places in the Word, but I want you to go back to Luke chapter 1. And we're just going to read a little more. Isn't it neat to look at this stuff? Just, yeah. Anyway, so, verse 39. After she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Isn't that something? The babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit, and she spake with a loud voice, saying, blessed art thou among women. She's been given some information here. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come? You know, Elizabeth, God bless her, man. She went from 0 to 100 right now. Boom. She went from barren to she's going to bear this prophet who would walk in the spirit of Elijah, and her cousin was having the Christ. Holy buckets! What a day, right? This is awesome. The mother of my Lord. Ah, it's just such a great record. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul does... Can you imagine what this did for Mary's heart? My soul, my life magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate. And that word low estate is the word that's translated humility. This is what God looks for, the humble. That's what he looks for. And there's a wonderful record in God's word. I forget where it is off the top of my head. But he basically says, you're going to build me a house? You're going to build me a house? The earth is my footstool. What are you going to build me? You know what I want? You know what I look for? Those that are humble, of a contrite spirit. That's what I look for. Isn't that something? You know, Mary was humble. She had great humility. She was going to bear the Christ, and she had great humility. Really something. You know, and humility is often tied in with believing. Because it's an acceptance of what God says that goes against the senses. And I'll tell you something, the information that Mary received definitely went against the senses. Right? Yeah. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of a humble heart. Those that were humble. Humility. Isn't that something? He has exalted them. He hath filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he hath sent empty away, the arrogant. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed, which is the Christ, his seed, forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And we're just going to, let's just read this, because this is so cool. I know I'm going long, but... verse 59, and it came to pass, and her neighbor, verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they what?
Rejoice.
Boy, didn't that what the angel said? Isn't that what the angel said what happened, Gabriel? Yeah. They rejoiced with her. Then it says, came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by that name, by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. See, once it was fulfilled, once he had fulfilled what the angel had said, you're going to have a son, and his name will be John. He had the son, but it wasn't all done yet. Until he wrote it out. His name is John. Only he wrote backwards this way. I don't know. Anyway. His name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. That's something. And here's what he said up in down in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Isn't that something? You know, this is said in the present tense. Jesus Christ hadn't accomplished it yet. But when God says it, it's as good as done. Do you understand? See, you read that in the Old Testament. In Isaiah, for instance, by his stripes you are healed. Present tense. Hadn't come to pass yet, but when God says it, it's as good as done. Because nothing spoken by God is impossible. It will be carried out. See? That's our Father. Verse 69, and he has raised up a horn of salvation, that's referring to the Christ, for us in the house of his servant David. See, Zacharias knew about Mary. Yeah. It's just, what a record, isn't it? Just how God does stuff. You know, they're just people. They're just people. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. All the prophets talked about the Christ, talked about the coming seed, talked about the Redeemer. And he's fulfilled it. Oh, these people that heard this must have been blown away. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. That day will come where God is going to fulfill every jot and tittle. Every jot and tittle of his word will be fulfilled. All the promises that he made will be fulfilled, because there's a day coming when Jesus Christ is going to reign on this earth. That's right. That's something. So, anyway. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring or the sunrise from on high hath visited us. Isn't that a great mind picture? The sunrise from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that is the Christ. That's the Christ. And that would be John's ministry. That would be John's ministry. To lay the way and then to point out who the Christ was. This is him. This is him. This is the one I've been speaking of, whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. This is him. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's something. He pointed out who he was. Really something. Hey, I showed you, and I want you to go with me, and this is where we're going to stop. I showed you that Mary was highly favored of the Lord. And she would bear the Christ. That word for highly favored is only used one other place in God's word. Only used twice. Once in reference to Mary. And then at the other end of this thing, in Ephesians chapter 1. That's something. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us highly favored in the beloved. That's that word. Isn't that something? Mary, and then the other end of it is us who have believed on him. See that? We're highly favored in the eyes of God. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.